Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Proposed by Captain here in response to the bank run manifesto that has been posted online by Aaron Day. Aaron Day, the Republican presidential candidate running in the primary. He's a New Hampshire guy. He's a free stater. He's a liberty activist and the only one that really actually supports freedom, at least from what I've seen. The other guys don't even come close. But Aaron is proposing the idea of a bank run happening immediately, like don't delay, go this week. Most banks aren't open on Sunday, so on Monday when you can get there, go do that. But what you proposed, guys, was this idea of a bank run flash mob.
Right.
To get together with others deliberately and go to the bank, not just to withdraw money, but also just to appear. Like, you don't even the idea is you don't even need to have an account at said bank.
Nope.
You can just go and hang out outside of the bank and make it look like there's a line of people trying to get into the bank.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really interesting proposal.
And ultimately, you know, get some sort of press about it, right? That kind of thing. Email some people, be like, hey, what's going on at this bank? Right? How come there's other people with cameras here? How come you're not here?
Well, you should pick the locations that are the highest visibility, right? So if there's a main street location in Manchester or Keene or something.
Or, like, pick a bank, like, that's very famous, JPMorgan Chase, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's an idea. But, of course, they're going to come out at some point and ask you to leave.
Yeah.
But what you could say at that point was, you know, I'm thinking about coming in to open an account. That's why I'm here right now. I'm considering opening an account. Are you telling me you want me to leave? You know, and then,
yeah, you could just have everyone in the line, you know, slowly but surely ask them one by one about what options they have for accounts. And, you know, just really let them go into detail. And, you know, ask as many questions as you can possibly think of about, you know, which accounts they have, what's on the contract, who decides what things, you know, just really find out which options they have available for you, and then go to the back of the line, and you might forget and need to know that again.
Also,
and
how
just
much
have to go back in and ask them.
How much do you guys keep in reserves from your customer deposits?
Right.
Yeah. You could really
questions.
Write up a few really tough questions
hey,
for them.
There you go.
And also, you know, if you like you said, bring some video cameras out, and that could that has viral potential written all over it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Bank run flash mob.
I think it's a really interesting idea.
And bank run flash mob.
Let's go to the phone, so you can call in. You can bring up anything you want here. Minor Ake, he is watching us on our Odyssey feed over at watch.freetalklive.com, and he's also one of our chat room participants over there. Minor Ake, you're on the air. Calling from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Ian. I understand if you don't want to, you know, you can tell me it's none of my business, but I got a couple of personal questions. The first one is, so you're looking at possibly doing some time, correct?
Yeah, could be, you know, anywhere from time served to life in prison for the Crypto 6 case, which folks can learn more about over at thecrypto6.com, where the federal government prosecuted me and some of our co-hosts and friends for selling Bitcoin, basically, without asking their permission.
Okay, well, it's a selfish question, but like, are you preparing people, you know, some of the crew, for taking over, you know, your first chair, you know, what, 3-4 days a week? You're that first chair, and you're monitoring the texting, and you're, you know, taking calls, and you know, you're doing a lot of different things sitting in that chair.
Sure.
So do you have other people prepared to step up or starting
to
prepare?
We'll do the best that we can if that's what it comes to.
Okay, and the other thing is going to be the harsher of the two is, like, you guys preach against holding on to U.S. dollars a whole lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, apparently, you know, you were found with, like, a large amount of U.S. dollars that you were holding on to. Uh-huh. So was there, like, a specific reason for that, or...
Sure. The Sharford Church ran Bitcoin vending machines, and in order to sell Bitcoin to people, you have to take in dollars. That's sort of part of the whole point of the thing, is to give people a way to get rid of their dollars, and that unfortunately means that you have to touch dollars in the meantime. So they found $178,000 in a safe that had been collected from various different Bitcoin vending machines, and had yet to be converted back into Bitcoin. So whenever you run Bitcoin vending machines, you always have to have dollars on hand, and you have to have Bitcoin on hand. You have to be what you call liquid in both of those things at any given time. Because also, you have to, if you're running a two-way machine, which we were, we had a couple of two-way machines in Keene, that means that those machines would both purchase and sell Bitcoin. So someone who had some Bitcoin that wanted to get rid of it and get cash would be able to do that with those machines, and that means those machines have to have an inventory of dollars. So dollars are definitely evil, but unfortunately the process of getting Bitcoin into people's hands means you kind of have to accept dollars temporarily.
It's kind of like if you have a vending machine business and you were caught with an inventory of Pepsi in your garage.
Pretty much.
Well, to break this down into super dumb terms, you were trying to act like all banks should act.
Well, no. Being a bank is a very specific legal determination.
Well, I don't mean
banks are companies
that hold. I mean, like, how they should act, though, is what I'm saying.
Oh, you mean not by the legal definitions
and all that nonsense.
Oh, so you mean like having the funds that he promised would be something that a bank should do, but they don't?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Thank
you. Just to be clear, we no point ever held customer funds or anything like that. It was essentially an instant transfer. Somebody would put the funds into the machine, the coins or whatever into the machine, they get cash out, or they put cash into the machine, they get coins out.
And that's
very simple.
And that's why this was more like a vending machine than an ATM. Because you don't have these accounts for these people. It's
correct.
You have these, you know, bitcoins or what have you, and then they buy them.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be qualified as money transmission for a variety of different reasons, one of them being that Bitcoin doesn't qualify as money. It is, according to the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, it is a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
According to the IRS, it is property.
According to the SEC, it's a security.
Well, no, the SEC is exempting Bitcoin so far from calling it a security.
Yep.
Yes, so I don't know if that means the SEC thinks it's a commodity, but they certainly are not calling Bitcoin a security. They're just calling everything else in cryptocurrency
a
security.
Just the fact that they need to complicate it to that point to like make it illegal is very telling.
Well, from my perspective, the SEC divides the world into two categories. There are securities, registered and unregistered, that they are enforcing, and there are all of the other securities that are unregistered that they just haven't gotten around to enforcing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, money, for example. It's an unregistered security. It's just not politically tenable for us to enforce it right now.
By the way, did you see the Gary Gensler guy from the SEC, the head of the SEC? He posted today on his social media profile, he did a photo change to a picture of him wearing those, like, digitized sunglasses that, like, I don't know what the meme is that you would refer to, but he's trying to make himself look like some sort of a cool, badass internet character or whatever, and he is not cool. He is not badass. He is not great or good in any way, shape, or form. He is destroying people's livelihoods. Mm. He is destroying people's businesses, and it's absolutely awful. Minor Ake, anything else you want to share tonight?
Oh, no, thanks. Thanks for the call.
Phone lines are open here at 603-283-6160.
He's being pulled in front of Congress to explain his actions, and, you know, I can hope that we at least get a good show out of that.
And they're not going to do anything to him.
Oh, I mean, they're not going to punish you, no. But I hope we at least get a good show that maybe, like, hey, let's figure out what the rules are and actually apply them.
Right. That would require Congress to actually do something, I think, and they've not yet done that. So meanwhile, these regulatory agencies and the FBI are just destroying people's lives. Let's go to Jet calling from somewhere out there. Jet, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Just about hung up and called back.
Here you are. You're really distorted, Jet. I don't know if you can back away from that phone or if you take it off speaker or whatever, but... You got to get away from the receiver.
Testing. One and two.
Do me a favor. Just back away from the phone, I don't know, like 4 inches or something, and see if you sound better.
Okay, I'll point my
much better.
Mouth to the sky.
Okay, that's much better.
So have you used the term govern myth yet tonight?
Oh, well, that's a good one.
Oh,
govern
myth. Good one.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, shout out to Gabriel for that one.
Hmm? Well, you know, I like to bring up things that people don't generally think about.
Mm-hmm.
Like why do people allow themselves to believe in the magical powers that, you know, like this Trump thing where someone says, okay, you are guilty of something and you must do this, you must obey us, and we're going to come get you if you don't, stuff like that. So I want to include something that most people, like I said, don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have you respond to this. Human laws, logically, can only apply to those who create them or endorse them.
I mean, that'd be nice. I think people are having those laws applied to them whether or not they believe in them or endorse them or whatever, because I certainly don't consent to federal rule, but yet they insist on lording over me. So, I mean,
well,
that's a nice fantasy.
Logically.
Hmm?
That's why I said logically.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, human law is nothing but the opinion of a very small group of people.
Mm. Yeah, and I like Mark Stevens' definition of law, which is it is an opinion backed by a gun.
Yeah, and think about this, only 51% of that small group of people at that. And the only way they can get their way, of course, is to hire guns to go out and get them. But I'm thinking also that I'm willing to bet the majority of people don't agree with these opinions.
Opinions of the politicians? I don't know. That's a good question.
No, they've actually tracked this one. It's about 30% of what politicians do is what people want.
Well, we know that the approval of Congress is very, very low. In some cases, less than 10%, depending on what poll you look at. But at the same time, they still like, you know, the military and the police. And so, I mean, Americans are a bit divided on as far as their beliefs about the government.
Well, if we don't agree with these so-called rules that other people, strangers, make up, why should we respond to them at all, other than the fact that someone's willing to hurt us, even kill
That's
us?
Why.
That would be why, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, logically, what should happen is that you hold me to the standards that I have agreed to. So, number one, you hold me to the standard of non-aggression and the possibility of, if I mess that up, of returning to civilization, if that's what I'm trying to do, of making it right with those who I have harmed. Now, beyond that, the rules that you would hold me to would be the rules that I agree to. So I want to be part of this community. I will agree to this set of rules. In this community, here's what we expect to do. Here's what we don't expect to do. Not that different from, like, what a homeowners association would be if they weren't being petty tyrants that are empowered by the government.
Well, the reason I bring it up, you know, is because, you know, Trump now lives in Florida. He used to live, well, he probably has a place in New York, too.
Yeah.
But somehow the people, these certain people in New York, believe that they have a right to go kidnap someone from Florida if they don't obey them. I mean, the magic of landlines has always been something that's kind of interesting to me. The idea that these lines we draw on a map that kind of create this land area, and each one of these land areas, remember, has its own capital, its own colors, flags, laws, police insignias, for birds and
they have their own gang.
Like,
I mean, you're using some of the the colloquialisms or whatever euphemisms to cover for gangster activity. They have different gangs, and those gangs have interlocking agreements with one another that say, hey, we're going to scratch your back if you're willing to scratch ours. And if you got somebody that we don't like down in your gang territory, we're going to ask you nicely to send them up to our territory so we can punish that person. And we'd like you to do the same in return. And that's all that these, extradition treaties are.
But I'm looking at these lines and I'm thinking, there's no discernible difference from one side of the line to the other. And most people don't think about this stuff. They just accept the fact that
sure.
I'm from Illinois. Yep. I'm from New Mexico. That kind of thing. And I'm going, if you're walking the line, you don't know the difference except there might be a sign.
That's right.
It just boggles my mind why most people, believe in this magic. I mean, I understand the indoctrination and the inculcation. I understand.
It's constant. It's constant ever since birth. They get it in the government schools. They get it in the mainstream media. And they get it, of course, from the people that are surrounding them because everybody has been indoctrinated with this stuff. And the reality is, even though there's not much of a difference when you cross between New Hampshire and Massachusetts as far as the land is concerned, as far as the trees and the, the granite that might be in the ground or whatever, there are psychopaths who will kill you in the area known as Massachusetts for doing things that are completely normal here in New Hampshire. These badge-wielding, gun-wielding psychos calling themselves the police will absolutely murder you or kidnap you at best if, for instance, you walk down there with a gun on your hip. And like I said, you're right. There's just no difference geographically between them. But the mindsets between here and there are a significant difference.
Definitely.
I drive cops nuts because I have a driver's license from one state. I drive a car from another state. I insist that I get my mail in another state. Mm-hmm. I mean, I travel all around the United States, so I'm thinking I should just be free to do whatever. It's so crazy that the cop that stops you says, well, you're driving a one state car with another state driver's license. Those need to match somehow. And I go,
Making my job difficult doing what I don't expect people to do.
Interestingly,
how dare you be unusual?
Curiously, that's actually never happened to me, even though I drive a car that doesn't have a New Hampshire license plate on it. Maybe they're just less uppity about that sort of thing around here. But, Jet, thanks for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you and the perspective. Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hi, it's Josie from Richmond, Virginia, and I'm really upset about what's been going on in our country in the last decade, and especially the last 2 years since this unelected man was put in our president's position, and then with all the people that have been thrown in a jail when they had no trial or anything else. This is so wrong. People that are, and when they tried to put a bunch of political prisoners in a jail in the Bastille back in the late 1800s, I think it was, people went in there with pitchforks and got them out. Now, it did lead to a terrible, bloody war of citizens versus anybody that they didn't like, but that was bad. But I'm talking about the fact that people should not be in a political prison in this country. And it's so unbelievably so bad that I just, it's very upsetting that our country has become like this. And now we're subject to foreign countries coming in. China, more and more people are doing whatever China wants. And then they had a a man who was working for Mr. Trump, put in a prison, but put in leg irons. He's a slightly built man,
mm-hmm.
did not belong to, he would go willingly with the anybody trying to arrest him. But no, they wanted to make it political and very, very public and
sure.
put him down. And now they're doing the same thing in a way with Donald Trump. I mean, it's just, I don't know, we're not violent people to violently overthrow or go against. And I don't.
Well, that wouldn't work anyway. Okay, so
yeah.
I understand the anger, and I get it. But violence is what these people want. It's what they're counting on.
Well, they're trying to make it. Oh, yeah, because they can really go after people.
Yes, yeah, they want the excuse to crack down. They want the excuse to put the military in the streets. They want the excuse for a total police state. I mean, we're close. It's almost a total police state.
And one of the big things about now they're going after what used to be untouchable people. This is one of the great arguments against having a small government, because it will never remain small. Every time, it will expand its powers. And at this point, the American government is going after, like, Julian Assange, is not one of their citizens, is not subject to their laws.
Has never been here.
And yet, they are prosecuting him with American law. Presidents used to be untouchable for a reason. Because
and how about
Alex
Jones?
To make these despots desperate. Because if you know that losing your power means that you're going to get jailed, oh, man.
We were just joking, Josie.
How about Alex Jones?
Yeah. Just before the show.
Am I on?
We got you right here.
We got you. We were just joking about putting up an Alex Jones was right jar.
Right.
So that every time, you know, something that he said turns out to be correct, we chuck a quarter in there.
You're going to need a lot of quarters to pay a $950 million court judgment against him.
I think that's a horrible thing. That's against our amendment rights, too.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you know, like I said, violence isn't going to be the solution, but neither is the ballot box either, because there's only psychopaths that run for office. There, people have been trying for 200 years to change the U.S. federal government, and it never goes anywhere. It just gets worse and worse and worse. It doesn't matter if it's Donald Trump. It doesn't matter if it's Barack Obama or Biden or whoever the next thug is going to be. That's why I believe the only way out is out, as they say down there at Texit, the Texas nationalist movement, which is riding high right now. They've got a bill at the Texas legislature that might actually get a public hearing if they're lucky this time around. So we'll
hopefully that will work.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other option.
I mean, we need to get the Texas Rangers out there going after those cartel people and killing them.
No, Josie, I'm sorry. That's the one point you're going to do. I'm going to disagree with you on. The cartel is just the result of prohibition of drugs. If you want to end the cartel and their violence and their grip on people, then you have to end the war on drugs. That's the only way that's ever going to happen.
Yep.
Escalating violence is not the solution. Thank you for the call tonight.
It's just going to be a different cartel, a different membership. But as long as that power's there to be grab, someone's going to grab it.
Yep, the number here is 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. The National Weather Service says the tornado that hit Little Rock on Friday was a high-end EF3. It noted damage with winds of up to 165 miles per hour were observed. According to a tweet on its website, the National Weather Service says the storm survey will take several days to complete. At least 22 people were killed from tornadoes across several states. Stormy Daniels is calling the indictment of former President Trump poetic, but also bittersweet. Speaking with the Times of London, the adult film actress said that Trump is, quote, no longer untouchable. Trump is expected to appear at a Manhattan courthouse on Tuesday. At the movies, Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves is rolling into the top spot at the box office. The film saw a strong opening of over $15 million, with weekend projections it could make nearly $40 million. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492, 800-509-4492, 800-509-4492, that's 800-509-4492.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We got time for you. If you want to join the show, you can. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian Peoples, Mountaineer, and Captain Kickass here in the studio. We're going to continue with your phone calls and thoughts. And then, Peakless, I know you wanted to talk about NASDAQ, which doesn't sound like an exciting topic, but there's something interesting that you want to share about.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up here in moments. And the number is 603-283-6160. Let's go to the phones here. Tom is on the line in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live, Tom.
Hi, I can just see the campaign ad on the TV. Hi, I'm Donald Trump, and I want to be Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces again when I'm banned by federal law from buying a hunting rifle.
Oh, okay. You're presuming he's going to be convicted of the charges, and we don't even know yet whether those charges are going to be felonies. I know some are speculating that they will be, and supposedly there's as many as 34 counts that the rumor is that they're going to be bringing against him in this indictment.
Pretty sure felons aren't allowed to run for president.
Well, felons can run for president, but they are banned by federal law from buying a hunting rifle, and there is the Associated
Press. Well, hold on, Tom. I mean, most people who are on a sentence are not allowed to run for any political office. Now, if you are a sentenced felon, meaning that you've spent your time or, quote-unquote, you know, done whatever restitution or time you have to do, and you're no longer on your sentence and you're just a felon, then maybe you can run. But I feel like I've heard that there is some sort of federal statute that prohibits people with criminal records from running for president, but I can't cite that right off the top of my head.
I'm reading, first of all, that the Associated Press has reported that at least one of the charges, according to their sources, And then that's not official, though. According to their sources, at least one of the charges is a felony.
Mm.
So, but, and I'm also reading that there's no ban on a convicted felon running for president.
Really?
Because, see, there's nothing in the Constitution that bans it, and that's the only way they can do that.
Okay.
Is now they can say, okay, you can't be a registered voter if you're a convicted felon. Some states do that.
Yeah.
But,
well, I know that in New Hampshire, at least, you cannot run for office if you're still serving your sentence. I know that much is true. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name? Hello? Caller? Going once?
Hello, caller.
Caller going twice? All right. Well, guess thanks for the call. Thanks for trying. Let's continue here. We've got David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, quoting Ian Gensler, not cool and destroying people's lives. Gensler.
That's right.
And what you're forgetting about the Trump thing, that doesn't stop him from running for president. There's a difference between state and federal crimes, and what you need to do is read the qualifications for president, and he's not precluded, to my knowledge. And I want to quote you again and support the quote I'm going to give of your words from today with some evidence. First of all, though, for the first time in a couple of years, you're on a Saturday night on KIVA in Albuquerque.
Nice.
Because there's a programming change. You might want to hit up Eddie, the station owner, and assuming you're not going to obstruct people's speech here in Albuquerque, but you should hit up Eddie and see if that slot is available. So quoting Ian.
I thought you said we were already on.
Pardon?
I thought you said we're already on the air.
Sunday.
Sunday. Okay. Gotcha.
You're on Sundays, yeah.
Okay.
And that is in jeopardy. You might want to talk about that as well. Okay. Like I said, assuming you don't want to obstruct people's speech in Albuquerque. Quoting Ian, I don't want a coercive government. To me, government is just an excuse for people to use violence against their neighbors. It's just people, okay? Remember, that government is just tyrants and despots and thugs and lunatics and psychopaths that are using the threat of violence and actual violence to force their way upon people,
yes,
to force obedience out of people, to force them to pay. There's the key word, to pay for their violence and their system. Psychopaths tend to be attracted to those positions. Those that are easily corrupted or already corrupt go for those positions. Government is the idea of people using power over others for whatever reason.
Wow,
they
how
want.
How did you write
usually,
all that down? I mean,
that was
that's
just
really,
tonight, too.
That's really impressive.
I typed it one finger at a time because the only computer I use is a smartphone. And I'm not a girl, so
wow. All right. Well, that is an accurate retelling of what it was I said earlier. What have you got to say about it?
Right. Well, there's like 8 words left of your quote, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to add to it. Usually, it is to benefit their friends and punish their enemies. Now, almost every bit of this, in fact, I would say every bit of it, but certain parts are more applicable than others, and you'll see it. I want to give one real-life example from a courtroom so that others can be forewarned what they might encounter. So taking Ian's words into account, here is one thing that I learned in my experience with the courts. The people that you're talking about, the psychopaths and such, John J. Romero Jr., M. Monica Zamora, Angela Jewell and Reed Shepard, all judges in New Mexico. Now, those people that are psychopaths and despots, here's one thing that when I was unceremoniously separated from my children wrongfully, other lawyers that I talked to subsequent to that happening, the unsolicited, I didn't mention it, they out of a sua sponte, to use the court's words, of their own accord, these lawyers, upon hearing my story, said this. And remember the word pay? The lawyer said, this would never have happened to you had you had a lawyer. Okay, so what that means is that if you can't afford a lawyer in a civil thing, if you can't pay for a lawyer,
mm-hmm,
then
you don't get justice.
You could lose whatever it is you're going to lose, like your children. But if you paid tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars to a lawyer, then that would not happen to you. Does
I suspect if you went into that lawyer and you said to him, hey, I'd like to hire you to take this civil case on, and I'm willing to pay you as long as you're willing to give me the money back if it doesn't work out in our favor. I bet you that guy would have told you to go take a hike, because that is very convenient for him to say that after the fact. Thanks for sharing the story, David. I appreciate
it. And this all just highlights the what is said versus the reality. What is said is land of the free, home of the brave. What the reality is it's the land of the fee and the home of the slave.
Let's continue here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
I'm Bob from West Virginia.
Bob, we have you. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Fantastic. Well, do you know, I don't care if people did not vote for Trump, but the fact of the matter is Hillary Clinton was basically had the same offense as Donald Trump. See, the Clinton campaign and the DNC argued that the payments they had been described accurately, but agreed, according to the documents, to settle without conceding, you know, any kind of guilt whatsoever to avoid further legal costs. And their beef was with the FEC. And this had everything to do with the, what's it called, the Steele dossier. Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign and the Democratic National Committee have agreed to pay $113,000 to settle a Federal Elections Commission investigation into whether they violated campaign finance law by misrepresenting spending on research that eventually became the infamous Steele dossier. So what they basically did was they let her off the hook. She ran for president, and this time President Trump, Donald Trump, is now being indicted.
Now, this was federal, you said. The feds let her off the hook, right?
Yeah, they sure did.
Okay. Well, maybe some right-leaning states could bring some charges against Hillary Clinton, right? Because we know New York City or New York State or whatever isn't going to do that. But maybe Arkansas or wherever it is that doesn't like Hillary, I don't know if they like her in Arkansas or not, but maybe they could bring some charges against her. Whether they stick or not is a whole other question. It would certainly stir up some controversy. It would get people talking, and because now the gates are open, right? The floodgates are open potentially for targeting
ex-politicians. I'm only making the point that there is no equal justice under the law here.
No, there never has been.
That's my point.
There never has been.
Well, I'm just saying there's a stark example of it right there.
Sure. Yeah, and I'm sure you can find plenty of examples when it comes to
former
presidents and lives of presidents doing all manner of different shenanigans.
If I was going to go after Hillary Clinton for campaign finance stuff, I would go after her for the fact that Saudi Arabia put a tremendous amount of money in her nonprofit while she was running.
Probably a coincidence.
And wouldn't stopped giving any extra money to it after she wasn't going to be the president.
Total coincidence, I'm sure.
Because, you know, Saudi Arabia, they're all about women's rights in Saudi Arabia.
Sorry, this is
in The Guardian, by the way. The Guardian, March 31st, 2022. You can read all about it there.
Very good. Anything else you want to share tonight?
Documented. Sir?
Anything else you want to share tonight?
Yeah, this is the first time I could get through since they changed the formatting on our radio station. We had it all canned up until just recently, which I'm glad that I got through.
So we're back on live? Are we on live there on WBTS?
We're on live right now, which is happy. I'm glad I got through.
Well, do me a favor. Contact the station and talk to the program director there. His name's Jeff Whitehead. Tell him thank you. Tell him thanks for airing Free Talk Live. I'm sure he'd appreciate somebody saying something nice.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, you betcha.
Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
This brings up a question that it's sort of irrelevant, but is there just Arabia?
There is, and that's Arabia before the House of Saud ruled it entirely.
So,
in fact,
the whole
peninsula, which also includes Yemen and that whole peninsula is the Arabian Peninsula.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember that from geography.
Yeah. So the portion, the lion's share, which is ruled by the House of Saud, is Saudi Arabia.
I got you.
Okay. What's this news about NASDAQ that you've been wanting to get to here tonight, Peekless?
I sure do. So,
NASDAQ.
So
sorry, I'm listexic.
This is a stock exchange for, you know, people that aren't familiar. It's always described as the tech-heavy NASDAQ.
Right, right. So it's more tech-focused stocks, which mm-hmm. is why it tends to correlate more effectively with Bitcoin price when they are correlated.
Because the regular
sometimes
ass...
They are, sometimes they're not.
The regular-ass stock exchange wasn't enough.
Right.
They had to have their own.
Yeah. So NASDAQ aiming to debut crypto custody service by quarter two end, according to Bloomberg. NASDAQ is aiming to debut its crypto custody services by the end of the second quarter, which for human beings is June, the end of June. Bloomberg reported on Friday. Stock market exchange operators, senior vice president and head of digital assets, Ira Auerbach, said the firm is working on getting the necessary infrastructure and regulatory approval in place. So, I mean, NASDAQ is huge. They are some of the biggest power players that there are.
Sure.
So the fact that they're moving into this means that this is going to be, like, almost impossible to stop. So... what this says to me is that this is a sea change in how cryptocurrency is being attacked. So with the collapse of FTX, which I think was absolutely orchestrated, with the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, which seems also to have been orchestrated through a whisper campaign, as they say, with the direct taking out of Signature Bank for no reason whatsoever, except for the fact that it's
crypto
deals in crypto.
25% of the accounts were crypto.
All of this has been an attempt to destroy the value of Bitcoin, essentially, and concurrently all of the other cryptocurrencies.
So why isn't NASDAQ?
Failed.
Why is NASDAQ's not playing along?
Right, right. So here's the thing. I think they've given up on trying to destroy it. I mean, they'll still keep trying a little bit, but I think they've moved that. Like, that was plan A. Plan A is
they knocked out three crypto exchanges this week. We covered that last night. Bittrex is closing U.S. exchange. There was one called Biaxi, which I'd never heard of. They're done. And then
Binance.
Binance is international, but there's a Binance.us, but they're still around.
Yeah.
They're targeting Binance for a lawsuit, the CFTC. Okay. They're targeting the SEC's targeting Coinbase. And then it was CEX.io is another U.S.-based exchange that is shutting down all bank access to their to their exchange.
Yeah, so they're still going to try somewhat to destroy it, but I think they've basically given up on that. And at this point, they're not trying to kill it because they figured out they can't. They're trying to capture it.
Okay.
So a custody service is exactly what they want. We will own the Bitcoin for you.
Who are they going to offer this to?
You don't own it.
Who can
their customers.
Okay, I guess I don't know enough about... I don't know how
so
NASDAQ
like the entire
works.
Stock market, essentially.
So does that mean the companies who are listed on their exchange can custody crypto with NASDAQ? Or is it just like an average retail customer can just knock on their door and say, I want to hold my Bitcoin with you?
Well, so the NASDAQ company keeps up on, like... Here's the companies that count as part of our exchange.
Yeah.
They run the exchange of those companies.
Right.
So in addition to those financial services, they will now also be offering that you can buy specifically Ethereum and Bitcoin.
The number two and number one cryptocurrencies on the planet by volume.
Except instead of buying them the way that I would buy them, where I put them on my own wallet after I buy them,
No.
You will leave those in our account. We will custody those for you. We are approved financial people. We're allowed to own the good stuff. You peons are not allowed to own this. And I think that this is the direction that the attack is going to move.
This sounds very similar to what PayPal did with their initial crypto offering when... you could sort of like the user interface said
you could
hey,
buy
how
Bitcoin.
Much you know and you're like I want $100 of Bitcoin and they go great you now have $100 of Bitcoin but it's here
trust
on our
us.
Server right not in your wallet
and they wouldn't let you withdraw it
right
but supposedly they do now
supposedly but I'm just saying this sounds a lot like the initial PayPal thing where NASDAQ is saying yes you can as one of our financial services you can purchase some crypto through us, but we're going to hold on.
But just to be clear, is this only for the companies that are listed on NASDAQ, or is this anybody
no,
can
no,
do this?
No, this is a financial service that the NASDAQ company itself will now be offering.
To whom?
to everyone who, to all of its customers.
Who are its customers? Is it the people
the
that they
stock
list?
Market.
So it's the companies that they list?
So it's
Is
offered,
it the brokers?
It's offered to the companies. It's offered to the brokers.
Okay.
It's offered to everyone that's interacting with these stocks.
And not just NASDAQ, though, like the entire stock market.
Right.
They're offering these financial services to anybody in the stock market, is my understanding.
Right.
Huh. Okay.
So, like, this is a huge institutional move. And institutional acceptance has always been one of the things that Bitcoin price watchers have been waiting for.
Sure.
It's
that's
like,
true.
Okay, as soon as the institutions are on board, this is going to explode.
It's going to shoot up.
Yep. Right.
Okay.
So this is a huge move. And the fact that they're doing it not as something where you can own your own, but no, we will be in custody of it. We'll hold on to that for you.
You don't need that.
Right. Right. So I think this is going to be the direction that this capture attempt moves now. Like, I think there's going to be less and less of an attempt to completely destroy it, but they're still going to try and make sure that you can't get your own Bitcoin. You
right.
don't get to own your own good money. We'll own the good money. We'll trade it for you.
This stuff just makes me smile because... Yeah, there's a whole bunch of news surrounding cryptocurrency right now, and you could deem some of it good, some of it bad, and that kind of thing. But it seems to me that everything banks and governments do to attempt to control cryptocurrency, to make it go their way, to destroy it, or otherwise, you know, be on top of it and be the custodian, if you will. It seems that everything they do just backfires on them and makes cryptocurrency better. It makes it grow.
Absolutely true.
It makes it learn from the experience, and it makes it impervious to those things the longer it's around. Because cryptocurrency has been under attack since its inception by every government on planet Earth, by some governments that, are shadow governments, by every corporation, every bank, every financial services company. Hackers, both white hat and black hat, have been attacking it since its inception. It's still here, hasn't gone anywhere, and it's still the best that exists.
Yeah.
Everything they do to it makes it better.
Yeah, it is an anti-fragile system. And their first best hope for killing this thing was just if it got ignored completely.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't happen.
They tried,
so their next swing at this, they tried to so severely crash the price that no one wanted it anymore. And so the very first time that the cycle bottom went below the previous cycle top... Because that had never happened before. So in this cycle top, we topped out at around like 69,000. Now, in the cycle before, it topped out at over 18,000.
Yep, about 20, yeah.
And this was the very first time that a cycle bottom has ever gone below the previous high. So they unleashed everything on trying to destroy this price. And when it started climbing back up, they're like, okay, we're going to rug pull the largest single section of a stable coin and see if we can depeg the stable coin, see if that can help crash
Terra,
the price.
UST?
No, in this case, I'm talking about Coinbase.
Oh, USDC.
Right,
okay.
which was a big part of why they took down Silicon Valley Bank, is because that was the single largest holding of any stablecoin. So they took down the bank to make sure that this stablecoin could not access its largest chunk. And, okay, you depegged it for like a week. And that's if you're like, if you're very narrowly saying, oh, it was only 99.8 cents. Ha ha.
No, it got down to 90. It got down to 87 cents.
Got down to 87 and then went right back up. And it wobbled a bit at like 99.5-ish. But it's just right back where it was. You didn't. So at this point, they've realized that these strategies are not going to function. But the strategy that is still available to them is to close all of the exits, make sure that you cannot get your own Bitcoin, and they'll move as slowly as they have to so that no one, you know, freaks out, realizes that this is a sinking ship, and tries to flee it. Because if people realize that they are closing the exits before they light the barn on fire, then they're going to have something to say about that.
I want to go to the phones here. We got a caller on the line. What is your name?
Right now?
You're on the air. What's your name?
Oh, excuse me. It's Azure, French for blue.
I couldn't make that out. But anyway, go ahead with whatever you're calling.
Anyway, I'm going to tell you something really cool for the sharp of your mind. As from Yo-Yo Ma, evolutionary equilibrium. Don't ever come to conclusions and it helps in law enforcement and also in helping people. I mean, you see something, roll the incident over your mind, every look at it from every angle possible. Just all the techniques you might interpret, and nuances will pop up.
Okay, I'm hearing you saying something about keeping your mind sharp, but your mind may be way too sharp for me to understand what you're actually saying.
That's why,
can you slow it down and try to explain it to me like I'm in fifth grade?
I just be fast. It's not, it's from the North in my culture. Yeah. But I'm going to, okay.
Are you a native English speaker? Because it's kind of hard to understand you.
No, I'm not. You hear an accent? No.
Okay. Is that French? What are you speaking?
No, that's Arabic. I speak finally.
Arabic. Okay.
And I'm trying to learn Farsi. I still speak it.
All right. So what is the point of your call tonight? Can you kind of whittle it down?
It's like a Zen koan. They help you raise your awareness and push your IQ points up. I'm going to give you a koan. The pink of a rice cake does not necessarily satisfy hunger. What does that mean to you?
I didn't know.
I heard something about a rice cake in there.
Everyone will paint a different rice cake out of 200 people. Perception.
I'm sorry. I do appreciate your call. I cannot make heads or tails of what you're trying to say. Being able to speak English is unfortunately a requirement.
To some of her discredit, her phone connection wasn't great.
It was terrible. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think she was making much sense either. Anyway, I'm looking at this news about the NASDAQ here, Peakless, and it's hard to find. I happen to find a story at news.bitcoin.com. There's not a lot out there on this. And it does make me wonder, where are they going to get the Bitcoin from? They're not saying here who they're partnering with.
The government has like 205,000 Bitcoin.
Well, that's true.
Got from various things.
They're trying to sell it, right? They've got a bunch of Silk Road Bitcoin. Oh, they're selling like 41,000 Bitcoins that they got from the Silk Road, apparently.
They still have around 205,000 Bitcoin, and they're not looking to sell, looks like, most of them.
Well, and the thing is, NASDAQ is an international company, so they can just go down to, say, El Salvador, buy up as much Bitcoin as they want to, sell it to you here in the States, where they are closing down the possibility of you buying your own Bitcoin, and instead of you actually having it, they will have all of the money and pretend it's yours. You know, kind of like banking.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like a very good deal at all, but they also are promising they're going to have their regulatory approvals. How are they going to do that? There's not even any kind of system.
I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, NASDAQ is a very powerful set of people.
Yeah, they'll get what they want. But there's, from what Coinbase could tell, there is no regulatory structure. There is no regulatory process. They tried. They tried to create it. And the SEC sued them.
I bet you they do get allowed to do this.
I bet you're right about that.
They're in on this plot.
They're untouchable.
Make sure you don't have your own coin.
Out of time tonight. These guys are back at 10:30 Eastern at watch.freetalklive.com for Beer Talk Live. Be sure you tune in a half hour.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.